always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider and lead content creator for our lead Lakers content creator for Offsides. And today on the show, we're going to be talking about the Lakers beating the New Orleans Pelicans and maintaining their spot with the fourth best record in the NBA. Something that is like simultaneously impressive, but also kind of maddening for a couple of reasons. But anyway, today on the show, we're going to talk about that win. I thought LeBron was incredible in that win. And as he continues to get his legs underneath him, and Antoine Willis appears to agree, it seems that LeBron has fully recovered from any lingering injuries, knock on wood, that remains the case. But yeah, LeBron looked incredible. Luka did just enough as well. I thought that it's become pretty apparent that LeBron and Luka have developed some chemistry while Austin Reaves has been out. So we'll talk about that as well. I thought that Jake LaRavia made a very interesting case for himself as the fifth starter, despite playing really poorly. I promise I'll explain that here in a bit as well. We'll talk about another clutch win and kind of how to balance out how annoying it might be that the Lakers have to win in the clutch against a team as bad as the Pelicans, but that it's also important to get those reps and to continue to be good in those reps. So yeah, there's a ton that we're going to get to over the course of the show. And on top of all of that stuff, I will answer your guys' questions, towards the tail end of it, depending on how my voice is holding up and how these allergies are treating me. So let's go ahead and dive on in while I still have a voice, while I have two open eyes, and while the vibes are still pretty good. So 111 to 103 was the final. And by the way, happy new year back at you, Antoine. But the Lakers beat the New Orleans Pelicans in New Orleans, 111 to 103. They improved, the Lakers do, to 23-11. That was their 13th win on the road so far this season. I believe that is one off the pace of most road wins in the NBA so far this season. I think Denver has 14. The Pelicans, they dropped to 8-30. They are 6-17 at home. And I thought they played about as well of in this game, the Pelicans did. I thought they played about as well in that game as they have in any game, basically, that they've played in so far this season, including some that they've won. Trey Murphy led the way, with everybody. He scored 42 points on 14 of 26 shooting from the field, 6 of 17 from three-point range, 8 of 9 from the free throw line. Clearly in an audition game, I thought, from Trey Murphy. LeBron, as I said earlier, was, I thought, the best Laker kind of from start to finish. He finished with 30 points to go with 8 boards, 8 assists, a couple of steals, and a block. Luka also had 30 points. He had 30, 10 assists, only 2 rebounds, a couple of steals, and a block. Luka had 5 turnovers in this one. As far as plus-minus goes, Marcus Smart led the way. He was a plus 14. I thought one of actually the biggest stretches in the game was in that third period when Marcus Smart knocked down those 3 3-pointers to kind of not just keep the Lakers in the game, but let them crawl into a spot to where they were within striking distance heading into the fourth. And then, you know, as we'll talk about him in a little bit, Jake LaRavia, he only had 5 points, only got two, you know, he only shot the ball four times in this game, 0 of 2 from 3-point range, did have 5 boards, did have a couple of steals, was a net neutral in a game that the Lakers won. And yet, despite those kind of meager counting stats, I still was maybe not as impressed as I've been over the last couple of games. Remember, he combined for 46 points over the last two coming into this one. And the Lakers need that scoring ability if he is going to make a viable case to start over Rui. But I thought he did enough of the small stuff that, you know, in a game that Rui would only score whatever it was, 5 points, I thought that Jake's floor or his baseline kind of proved itself out as much higher than Rui's. And I think that's something that that starting group really needs. So we'll talk about all of that, starting with LeBron James. Again, 30 points, 8 boards, 8 assists, couple of steals, a block shot, only 1 turnover in this game. He had a couple of highlight plays. He stole the ball, had a breakaway, had a windmill dunk that didn't quite get the same extension that we're maybe used to with LeBron. But again, he's 41 years old. He caught a lob from Luka Doncic. Again, kind of evidence that those guys are kind of figuring some stuff out together as well. And then I thought was about as active defensively as we have really kind of seen him. And look, I was never beating the drum that this dude is just straight up washed. I will not do that until like an entire season plays out where, and then at the end of it, you're like, ah, yeah, that's kind of clear that he's kind of washed. And I think, you know, not only did you get the 30 points from him in this one, but I thought he was particularly spry. I thought he was doing a really good job communicating throughout the game, defensively. He was kind of daunted with the tough task of keeping Derek Queen and Zion Williamson off of the boards, something that is basically impossible for almost everybody to do. As it was, though, Zion only grabbed 4 rebounds. Derek Queen did grab 13. He was more of Ayton's kind of assignment on the boards. But overall, I thought, you know, the Lakers basically told LeBron, hey, man, we're going to need you to kind of, you know, deal with the physical force that is Zion Williamson. And I thought LeBron, for the most part, over the course of the game, really kind of kept Zion out of it. It's kind of interesting. Since Zion has come into the game, come into the league, LeBron has always taken that matchup somewhat personally. I don't think he dislikes Zion in any particular way, but remember when Zion was drafted and then when he came into the league, he was one of the more hyped young prospects since LeBron. And I always thought that LeBron always kind of wanted to poke and prod Zion to see if he was actually the heir apparent. Turns out he was not. And I thought he carried that forward into this game. So LeBron looked really, really good. Again, that chemistry with Luka Doncic is really exciting. And I am going to do that, you know, super sports radio-y thing where I ask, was Austin Reeves getting hurt or missing a little bit of time here? You know, maybe the worst thing for the Lakers, you know, and that combination of LeBron and Luka in particular, obviously would never want to see any Laker get hurt, any player get hurt for that matter. But of course, in particular Lakers, you don't like Lakers injuries, but I do think that we have learned quite a bit about LeBron and Luka and some of the things and some of the pitches that the Lakers can rely on when those two are on the court together at the same time. I think that those two guys have developed taken a major step forward in their on and off court chemistry, you know, with Austin out of the rotation. And look, like, I'm the guy who, you know, with Damon the other day said that I've been kind of disappointed with Luka for his how quiet he has been as it pertains to, you know, re-welcoming LeBron James back into the fold. Well, after the game, like literally right after the game tonight, right before we were getting ready to go live, Luka sends out or puts this out on his Instagram story, and it's a picture of LeBron, you know, and his stat line tonight, a graphic that the Lakers shared from their official account. And he's telling his fans, remember, fans who have voted to hit for him to the tune of, you know, the most votes of any player so far this year. He's telling his fans, hey, vote also for LeBron. Like, let's get this guy out there in that All-Star game as well. And like, I'm look, if I'm going to sit here and say that I think it matters that he hadn't done this to this point, I'm going to sit here and say that I think it really matters now that it's finally happened. So, like, again, like I'm not like celebrating the fact that Austin Reeves is hurt, and I can't wait to see him back out on the court. It's a real bummer that his injury seems to have cost him an appearance in the All-Star game. And all of that is, you know, really kind of unfortunate. And it sucks that it appears that maybe this is what was necessary to get LeBron and Luka on the same page. I do think one thing that the Lakers have learned from all of this is that, you know, just asking LeBron to do all the dirty work despite not ever really touching the basketball, I think that is probably a couple bridges too far for him. And I do think that, like, as Domin and I talked about in that episode of the podcast, I do think that, you know, the basketball carries energy. And by getting LeBron more involved in the offense more consistently over the course of the game, not just in minutes when Luka is not playing, I think by getting LeBron more involved over the course of the game, it has led to a greater engagement level in the other stuff, the kinds of things that the Lakers desperately need LeBron to be able to do. So, yeah, I think between like the same side post stuff that LeBron and Luka are doing, and between some of the off ball movement stuff that LeBron and Luka enable each other to be able to do or allow each other to be able to do, you know, between all of that and LeBron getting back to being, I like literally getting his legs underneath him and becoming more of the physical and athletic presence that the Lakers need him to be, I think we're seeing some really important progress here between those two guys. And as I've said all along, if the Lakers are going to sniff their, you know, highest ceiling potential, it's going to happen because and only if LeBron and Luka are on the same page, you know, from here on out. And, you know, look, this is another win against a sub 500 team in the league. The New Orleans Pelicans, I believe, have the worst record in the West. And so all of those disclaimers and qualifiers, those things, you know, do remain true. And it is worth noting all of those things. However, I would also say that, you know, it, like, the surest path to racking up wins is by not losing any of these games to inferior opponents. And the Lakers so far have done a pretty good job with that. And I do think as LeBron continues to get his legs underneath him, and as Luka hopefully and Luka and LeBron hopefully continue this kind of march towards the level of chemistry that we need to see from those guys, that will improve the Lakers' record against you know, sub 500 and maybe even elite basketball teams. Do I think that the Lakers are contenders as they're currently built? No, I don't think they are. But do I think that, you know, LeBron and Luka and then hopefully Austin, whenever he comes back, have shown enough that, you know, Rob Pelinka can't get away with that whole stupid needle mover leak that he offers up every single year? Absolutely. I think the Lakers have, again, they have the fourth best record in the league right now. I don't care who they have struggled against and who that record is built up by. When you have the fourth best record in the league, and you have LeBron and you have Luka and you have Austin, this is an opportunity for you to go out and do some meaningful postseason and late season winning. And yeah, I think that, you know, this latest development of LeBron and Luka gaining some chemistry together, that's the kind of thing that should land on Rob's front desk as like, hey, mother bleeper, do your job. The next thing I want to talk about here is Jake LaRavia. And I talked about this on Offside after the game, you know, Offside, I do those. My apologies, everybody, by the way, I didn't do a pregame one. I did a pregame one. It is sitting there on my phone. But I sent it to Twitter and I sent it to Offside as I was pulling away from the house. And it never posted to either of those platforms. So my apologies to Offside and my apologies to you guys. I will make up for it. We have some cool stuff planned, though, for Offside that hopefully we'll have, you know, going live here sometime soon. Now, what I wanted to talk about here was, you know, as it pertains to Jake LaRavia. And again, I talked about this on the Offside video, but Jake, as I've said, kind of since he's gotten into the starting lineup, he has become more of a practicality than, you know, before these few games when he was more of a theoretical presence. I love how active that dude is when he doesn't have the basketball and when he isn't scoring. Tonight, he couldn't throw a pea in the ocean, didn't look comfortable shooting. I thought that the game plan from the Pelicans, whenever they saw he was open, was to close out to him super hard. And then they also have the length and athleticism to really kind of bother him on his drives. And also, frankly, I didn't think the Lakers did a very good job of getting him the basketball. Even with all of that said, you know, he still finishes the game. He was a net neutral. He played 35 minutes, which is the second, or I guess third most minutes played of any Laker in this one. He grabbed 5 rebounds, had a couple of steals, and I thought down the stretch of the game, I don't think the Lakers win this game, frankly, if Rui plays LaRavia's minutes. Especially if Rui, you know, plays a similar game to LaRavia in that, like, he's not really impacting the game as a scorer. I said this in literally, I think, the last show that I recorded. One of my favorite things watching Jake play is how active he is coming from the weak side as an offensive rebounding threat, and the extent to which opposing teams have to pay attention to him, and how that keeps them out of transition, or at least that one player out of transition. When Rui is out there, and especially if he isn't scoring, shot goes up, Rui just kind of starts meandering back. So he is neither getting back with any kind of authority, and he's also never really like threatening the offensive glass, which means that whoever is supposed to be blocking him out, or whoever, you know, he needs to beat back down the court, they know, all right, if I really run, Rui probably isn't going to beat me down the court. And I know I can really run because Rui probably isn't going to crash the glass. Whereas when Jake is out there, whoever is supposed to be blocking out Jake actually has to focus on blocking out Jake. And what that leads to is that player, rather than that player kind of starting his leak out as soon as the shot goes up, that player instead kind of has to have a couple of eyeballs on Jake. And thus doesn't get that head start. And even if that player does get a bit of a head start, Jake is one of the better Lakers when it comes to hustling back in transition. So I just, you know, between the activity on defense, the activity on the offensive boards, I think he's a better rebounder overall than Rui is. I just think Jake presents a higher floor. Remember in the last show that I recorded as well, I talked about the Phoenix Suns and the floor that comes with employing a whole bunch of, you know, try hard physical type, you know, and athletic and long type role players. And if your main superstar is surrounded by those role players, it provides a much higher floor than basically if you try to surround your superstar with a whole bunch of shooting. Shooting comes and goes, right? The Lakers shot really poorly in this one. I believe they shot really poorly in the game before this one as well. From three-point range in this one, they wound up shooting okay percentage-wise, 11 of 31. But you look at the guys who were making those threes. LeBron made three of them. Luka made three of them. The role player guys, right? Like Laravia went 0 of 2. Marcus Smart went 3 of 7. He made his three in a bit of a spurt. But Jared Vanderbilt hasn't made a three in a couple of games. If your role players, if their job is to make your stars better by way of knocking down open shots, and they aren't knocking down open shots, well, what that means is eventually you ask what else are you able to provide? And I thought that in this one, it was pretty clear that what, you know, Jake Laravia and Jared Vanderbilt and all these other guys were able to provide is, you know, something, anything, you know, point of attack defense, weak side defense, offensive and defensive rebounding, deflections, steals, you know, heady plays down the stretch. And, you know, if it like with Rui, look, if here's my thing, I think Rui is a more talented basketball player than Jake Laravia. Like just straight up. Like if the two guys were to play, like walk into a YMCA and I had first choice for like most teams, I would probably say, all right, Rui, you're probably on my team. But in the NBA and on this team specifically, I do think that Jake Laravia is going to wind up being a more impactful player by the end of the season than Rui. And it's because of all of this like other little stuff that Jake is not even more capable of. Like, I just think he's wired to do those things, whereas Rui Hachimura isn't. And if there was any way to like rewire Rui and get him to start doing some of that little stuff and get him to be as talented he is offensively, and then also as capable as, you know, as and potentially impactful as Jake is defensively, now you're talking about, you know, a $30 million player. And this is what drives me nuts. It's like, Rui, do you want to make $30 million a year? Like, is that something you want? Because if that's what you want, then you have to do some of this other stuff too. And he just has always been reluctant to do those things. It was funny that the Lakers had a home game in the one before this one. And when you watch League Pass games, you can actually see some of the videos that they play in, you know, during the breaks between, you know, stoppages of play or during stoppages of play. And there was this video where they were like designing a boy band. And one of the questions in designing this boy band was like, who's the rebel? And everybody said Rui. And the reason that they all said Rui is because, like, yeah, he just never listens to anybody. And it's like, yeah, we can kind of laugh and could chuckle about it and stuff in that setting. But it did make me kind of say, like, I'm pretty sure JJ Redick just complained about guys not listening. Huh. How do you get Rui to listen? And the way that you get Rui to listen is to make him feel like the thing that he treasures most, the thing that all NBA players and professional athletes treasure most, playing time, opportunity, minutes. If you make him feel like if he doesn't commit to the things that you need him to do, that he will lose minutes, he will lose opportunity to somebody in particular, maybe that's the only way you can get through to him. And if you can't get through to him that way, then like I see Omaris asking, is Rui expendable? Fuck yeah, he's expendable. Jake Laravia probably has proven that. The Lakers have looked perfectly fine without Rui in the rotation. Like, Rui got hurt, and I think the Lakers have what won? They've won three in a row. Is that what I'm looking at here? The Lakers have So Rui got hurt, and yeah, Rui got hurt. They've won three in a row. You know, it's and look, you want to say like, all right, two of the wins came against the Memphis Grizzlies, the other one came against the New Orleans Pelicans. The Memphis Grizzlies, by the way, just beat the San Antonio Spurs. And like I said, I don't think the New Orleans Pelicans lack talent. They got Herb Jones back tonight, by the way, for the first time in like half of a season. like I actually thought that like if the Pelicans play the way that they did tonight against everybody else, their record would be quite a bit better. And yet it didn't matter. Like I thought Jake LaRavia was a lot more impactful in these last three games. Sometimes it was via shooting, sometimes it was via spacing, and then tonight it was via those little things. And I would rather gamble on Jake LaRavia continuing to provide those little things and raising the starters' floor than because I don't think the Lakers are very confident in Marcus Smart staying healthy enough to be their starter moving forward. That kind of remains to be seen. But if it isn't going to be Smart, I would much rather it be LaRavia than Rui. I think Rui is kind of a distant third place for who I would like to see the Lakers or like to see be the Lakers' fifth starter.